Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. We have Derek Kimbler in our studio. He is, of course, the Executive Director of Central Illinois Friends. That is an organization helping people living with and affected by HIV in Central Illinois. In the last few years, Friends has grown to become a full-service certified clinic providing completely free services, no matter the boxes checked on an intake form. Derek is, of course, a strong advocate for the LGBTQ community. I invited him to the studio because month after month, we have been seeing story after story about either legislation that has adversely impacted the LGBT community or tragic stories where people have been killed in places throughout the country in hate crimes committed against members of the LGBTQ community. I thought that, what, 5, 7, 10 years ago that we were headed in a direction where our society was becoming more tolerant or accepting. But I don't know. Are we going backwards?
Well, I would argue that in a lot of ways we're going forwards, but in a lot of ways we're going sidesteps, and a lot of ways we're going backwards. But I kind of want to go back in time, if we could. And let's go back to the early 1900s. There were people that were LGBTQ plus. Heck, you could actually go back to the late 1700s and find people who were LGBTQ plus that were living their truth in society. Well, we didn't have the bureaucracy we have today in terms of surrounding marriage and marriage equality. So there was no need for protections for a lot of these LGBTQ plus people. To name a few, Kazimier Pulaski was an intersex individual. Frederick von Steuben, who was the founder of our military, was an openly gay man. We had George Washington Carver, who was a gay man. That goes back a ways away, right? But in the early 1900s, there was a revolution in the LGBTQ plus community, specific in Europe. We actually had transgender clinics in Austria and parts of Western Germany. You could even go back in time and find clubs that were specific to LGBTQ plus people that were safe havens for individuals. Now, it was never socially acceptable in a way where people could just go out and hold hands, etc. But everyone knew that that was in existence. It was Nazi barbarism that began the demise of what we currently still are stuck in today. When it was no longer safe in terms of government. It was the first time that government really came in Western culture, I will say.
Okay.
And openly has taken a stance to kill, disseminate, and get rid of all bits of history for LGBTQ plus individuals.
Decimate,
yeah. Now, with that, you've probably heard of the Pink Triangle. So the Pink Triangle was what was branded on gay and lesbian and transgender individuals in the camps.
Wow. So like with the Jews,
they had the star.
The star.
And so the Pink Triangle was the symbol for LGBTQ plus. And so if you were in a camp and you had the Pink Triangle, when the U.S. and the U.K. and Russia liberated these camps, they liberated everybody with multiple different patches on, except for one, and that was the Pink Triangle.
Really?
You went right back into prison, because in the UK and the US, it was illegal at the time to act upon your homosexuality.
So this was in the 1940s?
Yes.
And 45, 46?
Yes. That right when we were ending World War II. Yes. And so that was a big stain on the allies, if you will, as they're freeing people that are Jewish and people of color and prisoners of war and everybody else that they had in the camps. They didn't do that for anyone who had a pink triangle. Because the U.S. and the U.K., they were just as happy with burning the books that had LGBTQ plus history and healthcare as much as the Nazis did. And so that's when you see the intellectual LGBTQ activists come about. That's like James Baldwin. Even Nina Simone. She herself was not LGBTQ plus, but she was part of the activist side of things. Maya Angelou was an ally. And but as we go forward, who am I thinking of? Marsha P. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Have you know this name?
Right.
She's a black transgender woman. We don't have Pride. We don't celebrate Pride in June if it's not for Marsha P. Johnson. But the problem with the LGBTQ plus community is we are just as divided as everyone else. And so...
And when you say that, you mean LGBTQ, lesbian, yep. Gay, bisexual, help me out.
Transgender. And then Q is queer, which is all of the rest, kind of. Now, we say plus to incorporate all the rest, but queer is to incorporate non-binary individuals, intersex individuals, people who are born with multiple reproductive parts.
And so when you say we're not together, so there may be lesbians who aren't down with transgender.
Correct.
And there may be gay men who don't necessarily think bisexuality is something that's
correct.
Cool. Or,
yep.
Gotcha.
And
but
also,
we as a, so why did society or you guys lump yourselves all together?
Well, that is a good question. And I wish I think there's a lot of ways I could answer that. But I think more than anything,
it's a coalition.
It's we're stronger together. That's what Pride was all about. Now, with that being said, that's where people who were more privileged took the lead. White LGBTQ plus people, cisgender, meaning non-trans, and gay and lesbian white people took the lead. Because if we were going to be taken seriously, we can't fight multiple fronts.
Well, and even the acronym, it's not QTBLG.
Mm-hmm.
It's lesbian, gay. Those are the first two.
Now, we do have a joke in the LGBTQ plus community. The reason the L is first because the gays are always late.
Wow. Already then.
Right. But yes, you're absolutely right. It was LG, right?
Yeah, lesbian, gay, because that's what most people are used to.
Yep. PFLAG is a nationwide organization. And the acronym literally stands for Parents and Families of Gay and Lesbians. Notice some missing populations there.
Right. Bisexual, transgender,
yes.
Queer. Yeah.
And so there's...
But before you go on,
yeah.
This is something that you and I talked about briefly before we were recording. And that is, it's still like you're the other. So you still feel like you're the other. You're not a part of the mainstream. And the goal, I would think, is that one day people are just people, that you don't even have labels, that you're just in the neighborhood and there's...
Now, that talk scares me a little bit, because here's what I'll say about that. A wise man once told me that the word melting pot's a bad thing. His name was Gary Moore, and he used the analogy salad bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's important to remember to celebrate our differences and to keep our differences. When societies thrive, they are celebrating and learning from each other, and they're not trying to take over one another. They're coexisting and learning from one another, and realizing that not one washed culture is trying to take from everywhere else.
But you understand where I'm going.
Correct. I know exactly what you're going.
So where am I going?
Yeah. Which is that one day we should be seen as people, period, despite the boxes we check. We should be treated like everyone else. The problem is we can't even do that with sex. We can't treat women the same way we treat men. We can't treat people of color the same way we treat white people in this country. And that goes for most countries, but United States, we're going to stick with that because that's where we live.
So talk to me about the first question. And you answered it by saying we're going forward, we're taking sidesteps, mm-hmm. and we're going backwards. Let's start with the latter. So how are we going backwards with some of these hate crimes and the legislation? You look at Florida, what DeSantis was trying to do with Disney. You look at Tennessee with these legislation against drag queens. Mm-hmm. So those are obvious places where we're going backwards, correct? Right?
And Iowa is now talking about trying to challenge gay marriage again. And that's ironic from the state that was the first state to pass gay marriage, by the way. And so if that's not proof of going backwards, I don't know what is. We're seeing floods of people moving to the Peoria area and their LGBTQ plus families.
And the reason
is because they're hiding from places like Florida. They're fleeing from places like Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana. Now you may be thinking, why Illinois? If you're from Florida, why would you move to Illinois of all places? And the biggest reason why is because Illinois now officially has the most protections on the books for LGBTQ plus individuals than any other state in the nation.
And what are the protections? What do you mean by protections?
Yeah. And this is where the microaggressions come in bureaucratically, which is where we're moving backwards. Denying health care. Denying extensions of Medicaid and Medicare to specific things that only LGBTQ plus people would need in healthcare. Like, oh, you're an older gentleman who is struggling with low T. You get testosterone. But if you don't check those boxes, you don't get testosterone. And doing little things like that to hurt and damper, they know exactly what they're doing, transgender individuals and intersex individuals. And so you're seeing this happening more and more in the South, but you're even seeing that happening in places like Ohio and Indiana and Iowa and Michigan even. A Democrat governor, doesn't matter. They're still having these microaggressions. And so you feel that as an LGBTQ plus person. Then it's giving us when your politicians, whether they're the majority or not, have a stage to say all of those hurtful things that they say and anti-LGBTQ plus things, you're empowering and you're emboldening our neighbors to act against us. Hmm. Our neighbors had no problem with us, but now they're starting to. And they didn't even they felt weird because it was something new. Maybe they didn't like it because their religion told them not to like it. Maybe it's just because they've never met an LGBTQ plus person before. Or maybe they were harmed by a bad LGBTQ plus person before. Experiences are very real. But because now they're emboldened, because someone who holds a place of supposed high regard says these things out loud, that it's LGBTQ plus people are trying to convert our children, and there's more gay people and transgender and bisexual people than ever before, you're making me feel like they're attacking me. They're attacking my culture, and they're trying to take over our nation. They're trying to read to our children, and they're trying to do awful things.
But didn't we talk also about how, and I don't know if this is a study, if I'm misquoting some study, but I thought I read somewhere or saw something that said everybody knows somebody. That's a part of the LGBTQ community.
Doesn't mean they're talking about it. You know, my fiance.
I'm pretty sure I have you have a relative. Somebody in your family is LGBTQ. Somebody you work with is LGBTQ. Somebody you go to school with. Somebody who lives down your block, right?
My fiance, and I'm going to just use this as an example. I'll give you 5 million examples, but I'm going to use this as an example. My fiance is a personal trainer. He is a gay black man from Atlanta, Georgia. And he personal trains a lot of white women. It doesn't make them allies. Just because they know him doesn't mean they're not racist. Doesn't mean that they don't believe that Black Lives Matter. They believe that Black Lives Matter. Just because they know him and they may like him, they see him differently. So and we see this with race all the time, where you start to graduate to whiteness and you become part of them. So like, oh, well, you're different. When I say these people, I'm not talking about you because you're different. So just because I know someone who's LGBTQ plus doesn't mean I can't be anti. Doesn't mean I wouldn't beat the crap out of someone.
Hey, you almost
said it. I almost said it.
and thus, let's take a break. We want to remind our listeners, this is The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. Always enlightening to talk with Derek Kimbler. Many of us know him in the theater community because he is behind a lot of productions at Peoria Players and Cornstalk. But he is here, of course, to talk about Friends. And when we talk about Friends, he and I have been friends for some years. And I brought him into the studio to talk about trends that we're seeing and what some might say are disturbing trends in our society when it comes to our intolerance of certain groups. I interrupted you. You were talking about beating the crap out of somebody. Finish your point.
Well, let's. I want to transition to the story because it parallels really well. And I want to say a really important name, and that is Michelle Peacock. Michelle Peacock was a 59-year-old cisgendered, which means not trans, right? Woman in Indiana. She was a Black woman, and she was murdered, stabbed to death, by an older white gentleman who lived in her complex. Mm. He killed her because he was mentally unstable, and he thought she was transgender.
He thought.
When the police arrived, they walked into his house to find a TV on, playing Fox News, and a bloody knife, and an old man who said he was doing the Lord's work. Mm. Mm. This happened in July of this year. Mm.
You know, what also happened this year was the young man in New York, the dancer,
yeah,
who was killed, a hate crime. Mm-hmm. I want to say he was stabbed to death. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Famous dancer in New York. Appeared in a lot of Broadway productions. A lot of the people in the arts community knew him. He was an icon, really, in New York.
Right.
And was killed. Police are investigating it as a hate crime. And then, I don't know if you remember, there was a lady out in California. I don't know. I forget the city. But she just had a flag out in front of her business. And a pride flag,
yeah.
And someone murdered her.
Shot in the, I don't, did they kill her?
Yeah.
Oh, they did? Okay, well, I knew they shot into the building. They shot up the building. I know they killed some people. I didn't know if they killed the owner.
Yeah, and what you're saying is that you can connect some dots, that there's some blood on the hands of what? Some policymakers, some lawmakers, some institutions?
So, you and I both worked in TV. We know how TV works. And I'm going to say politics runs the same way, which is eyeballs, votes, clicks, money. They're all different ways of voting. And when you're someone who, when you live in a capitalistic society that just focuses on those things, money, clicks, well, eyeballs, votes, and clicks, which equals dollars.
And when you say clicks, we got to point out, you're not talking about C-L-I-Q-U-E, like click that you
belong
to.
I'm talking about like clicking on something on online or on my phone. Those things equal money. Every time you click on a story, you're creating ad revenue to whoever wrote that that article. And people follow that. And so therefore, if I'm in the business of making money based on clicks, And I see when I say these hurtful things that may not be true, or if I say these certain things over these things that are more moderate and more sense, has more sense to it, then I'm going to do the things that brings me more clicks. People like drama. Mm-hmm. People pay attention to the things that make my instincts feel like I'm on the right. And that's why we're seeing so much more dramatization in all facets of our society.
But what you're also saying, and I don't want this to be lost on our listeners, is that this is where, and I hope we're following this, this is where the tail ends up wagging the dog. Mm. Because this is then how you create myths and perceptions, and how perceptions Correct. Become reality. Because, and I'll just use a crazy hypothetical, you know, I click on a story that says Derek is a gay man and he is walking his dog, and somehow or another he ends up sleeping with his dog. Or did he sleep with his dog? Do gay men sleep with their dogs? Okay, and then I put that out there, and then somebody clicks on that, and then they add their opinion to it.
Correct, without reading it,
and somebody clicks on that. And what you're saying is that the next thing you know, that has taken on a life of its own.
Correct. And the person who puts it out, who's getting the money off those clicks, is more emboldened to do more of that clickbait and more of those kind of conversations, because I'm seeing that it's bringing more people to my website. I see it's bringing more people to my show. I'm seeing it's bringing in more votes for me to continue to keep my seat in office,
whether it's true or not.
Don't care. Selfish.
And we see this, how then the young man, Dylan Roof, who shot up the AME church, the black church, mm-hmm. when the FBI did its investigation, they found on his website, I mean, they were able to trace how this kid had some moderate views about race or whatever, but then he continued to click on these radical websites. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of false information
yep.
about black crime and other stuff. And then this young man, I want to say, what was he, 19 or 20 or something like that? You know, a young person, yeah. he became radicalized.
Correct.
By going down this rabbit hole.
Yep.
And you're saying that's where we are in society.
Yes. And I think there's a lot of ways you could fix that. And there's a lot of ways that we could talk about why it's an issue and how it's an issue. I personally believe that money is the biggest. We have to take the money out of things before we can write it. But what I'm going to say is a quote that I just went to Washington, D.C., and I went to the Holocaust Museum. And a quote I saw, which I've seen before, but burns in my mind all the time, which is, "The world is not evil because of the evil that exists in it. The world is evil for all those that stand by and let evil take hold." There are far more people that stand by and allow things to happen because they don't think it's their place, or because they don't necessarily feel comfortable, or they're just content with existing. That's the vast majority of people, and that is where we have a ginormous complacency in our nation right now, mm-hmm. of people that are just willing to stand by and go, "Well, should have done better. Maybe you have you tried not being gay?" You see it with the police officer conversations. Police officer pulls up over some young black man and shoots him. Well, he should have listened to the officer.
Right. All right, so we're going backwards in some yeah. respects.
Yeah.
Well, how are we taking side steps? What did you mean by that?
Okay. the side steps is, quite frankly, we're building on our current system. And you got to stick with me here, what I'm about to say. We have to play the game to get ahead. And unfortunately, we're given the cards that we're given, which means that we have to figure out a way to make systems work for us. So
don't be so gay.
Yeah, right.
When you go into a job,
yeah.
Don't be so gay. Try to blend in.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
There's a little bit of that, but there's a lot more of, for instance, hey, there's no box that I can check while I go to the health clinic, so I have to find another box until we can get there. There's, you know, my doctor says that they're affirming. My doctor says that they can provide me the healthcare that I need as an LGBTQ plus person, but you don't have my box that I need to check on this intake form. You also don't have any representation of me in this office, and you aren't able to, when I talk to you about my type of healthcare, I'm having to educate you.
Mm.
And so that's where it's like, yes, in some ways we're sidestepping, we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's like, hey, we're creating quote unquote allies, but what does allyship mean? Is it just showing up? Is it just saying, hey, I'm here for you, but then when stuff's about to go down, I'm still just way over here for you, but I'm just way over here.
Well, I heard somebody say it would be really nice when we have our pride parade if heterosexuals who are empathetic to LGBTQ would participate, that it shouldn't just be members of that community there.
And there are.
That you can show solidarity.
Yeah.
And I even saw a shirt. It's like, I'm not gay, but I support LGBTQ. Yeah.
We had a lot during our last Pride Fest.
But that I'm not gay, that could feed into...
Correct. Othering.
Othering, right. It's like, hey, I'm not gay.
Right.
Don't be thinking I'm gay.
Right.
But, you know, I support these guys. But yeah. you don't want it to mean that either.
No. But I kind of want to go to how we're moving forward.
Okay. And we need to.
Yeah. So when it comes to moving forward, we are learning so much more about our history than we've ever realized in written form.
Well, I think you just educated a lot of people with George Washington Carver.
Correct. And he had a lifelong partner. And I don't know, I'm sure you could do an entire episode about Baird Rustin.
Right.
And his advocacy for LGBTQ+.
Washington would
absolutely
not have been possible.
Gay man. Interracial relationship for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like I said, James Baldwin, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we're finding this all over the sense. Now, I glanced over it, but Kazimierz Pulaski, that was a big find. Kazimierz Pulaski, there was belief that the grave robbers robbed the grave of Kazimierz Pulaski because there was no way that Kazimierz was this small of a person. Well, after DNA, they realized that in history, they realized that, hey, this shot, this wound, and this wound on the body matches what it says in history for him being wounded. They did some more DNA research, and in 2008 to 2010, they found out that actually he had multiple chromosomes. He was actually an intersex individual, had multiple reproductive parts. And so that is huge to say that members that played ginormous roles in our society, including saving George Washington's life in the Revolutionary War, was part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that transgender people have served in Civil War and goes back to the Roman era, right? And so in a lot of ways, we found all this research and we're doing better in terms of what's the difference between sex, gender, sexual orientation, expression, and what does that mean for society? And we're doing so much better in terms of that research that it's making us, I believe, stronger as a community as a whole.
Because I was talking to a heterosexual guy who said, you know, when we think of a gay person, like a gay man, our mind instantly goes to a sexual relationship.
Correct.
And what might that be like?
Mm-hmm.
We're not even thinking about anything else.
So we are being sexualized. And I say we as LGBTQ plus people. That's the biggest issue. People say that we sexualize things. Our identity is not sexual.
Right.
By you being a heterosexual, that's not meaning that you're just talking about all the women that you're hooking up with. Me being a gay man, I'm not doing the same. And as somebody who, I'm the executive director of Central Noi Friends, for those listeners that don't know, we're a sexual health organization on top of being an LGBTQ plus community center. And I will tell you, there are many LGBTQ plus people that are far, have way far more sexual sexual intercourse than LGBTQ plus people, and vice versa. Your identity does not equal sex. That is a completely different thing.
Yeah, so heterosexual people need to
stop, get their minds out of the gutter, stop thinking about us in the bed. but then now let me lead that a little further to transgender people. Because you like the bathroom conversation.
Right.
So what you're saying is you may look like a woman, but I'm thinking about your body part, and your body part makes you act different in the bathroom than I'm in. Even though we have separate stalls, we're not seeing each other, I have a perception that you have this body part, which makes you sick and you shouldn't be in here with me.
What do you think about the IHSA ruling with athletes?
So can you update me?
So the IHSA ruled that transgender athletes, it would be handled on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Their concern was it should not be used as a competitive advantage.
Correct.
And so...
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. Transgender people deserve to be able to partake in the sport that they are of gender to do, right? And a trans woman is a trans woman, and a trans man is a trans man. So if a trans man or a trans woman is above the legal amount of steroids or testosterone, I should say, not steroids, but testosterone and et cetera, then that's no different than a cis man or woman doing the same.
Right.
Now, with that being said, for all this like anti-trans people in sports, the same people are the ones that want the best competitive field. And so if you really want the best competitive field but are afraid of people coming in and beating you, then you don't want the best competitive field. You just want to be the winner.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Hey, we are just about out of time, and I wish we could continue. You got to come back. You got to come back. We got to continue this. This is like...
Anytime.
This is like Derek 2.0, okay?
Getting in the weeds. I like it.
Yes, indeed. Okay, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
Just kindness. I know. It sounds so... cliche,
yeah.
But everyone's hurting. Everyone's dealing with something. And there's a lot in the world that's going on. And we could sit here and talk about race and ethnicity and language and immigration and sex and sexual orientation. There is a psychological war happening in the United States. And our job isn't to embed ourselves in our own communities and forget the rest of the world, because that's what safeness is. That's the danger. Once we stop talking to people that are different than us, that's when we're easy to manipulate.
Well said, Derek Himmler. Hey, always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Very enlightening. Again, Derek Himmler is the executive director of the Central Illinois Friends Organization. That organization provides completely free services, no matter the boxes checked on an intake form. And when they say free, they mean free from cost and stigma, helping people navigate the complexities and red tape in the medical community. You've been listening to The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker. I'm thinking about Seely and Suge in The Color Purple, right? Alice Walker said the most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.